McBride with 12 seconds to go.
Go.
Uses a screen. Gets to the baseline. Off balance. He's got it. 6 seconds to go. Here comes McClung.
Not done.
A one-point game. McClung floats one. Just off the rim, and West Virginia steals it on a McBride game winner.
Fire the muskets. West Virginia wins. I love that call because you hear it shoot off.
Yeah.
Right when they won. That's pretty cool. Texas Tech had their opportunities last night but could not finish the deal. Season-high 30 points from Mac McClung, the transfer from Georgetown, but Texas Tech could not hang on. They led by as many as 12 in the second half, but McBride, who hit the game winner, Miles McBride, had 17 points in the final 7.5 minutes, and he made the game-winning layup, as you just heard, with 5.9 left, and McClung's game-winning attempt at the buzzer rimmed out. West Virginia now 4-3 in the Big 12, 11-4 overall. Texas Tech falls 11-5 overall, 4-4 in the Big 12 as West Virginia wins 88-87. West Virginia, not known as a great outside shooting team, last night made 12 out of 19 from three-point land. That'll usually get it done. So West Virginia, number 11, beats number 10, Texas Tech, 88-87 last night. And also Big 12 play last night, it was Oklahoma State, no problem with Iowa State. 81-60 was that final. K-State back in action on Wednesday. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on ESPN, they get to go to Waco to play number 2 Baylor. That should be fun. And TCU at number 15, KU. KU dropped to 15 in one poll, 18 in the other poll, despite losing 2 times last week. KU is hosting TCU 7 o'clock Thursday, pregame at 6:30 on Z96.3 Lake. That was a game that was supposed to be played tonight but was moved back a couple days due to COVID-19 issues within the TCU men's basketball program. Listen, I'm a KU fan. People know that in regards to the men's basketball team. Football, yeah, you know, you support whatever. KU men's basketball, to me, they're not the 15th best team in the country. I thought they should fall to 18. They did in one poll. I thought probably should be between 20 and 25. I predicted 17 or 18, and then I saw the one poll's 15. I'm like, I don't get it. But not that rankings mean a lot, but I think when you lose twice and you were 10th, you only fall 5 spots. Yeah. Seems to be a little bit, I don't know, doesn't seem to be as big of a deal as it maybe it should be, but whatever. If KU keeps losing, they'll obviously fall out of the top 25. Yeah. And KU should win on Thursday, but you never know the way things are going right now for the Jayhawks, who are competitive, of course, and right there, but competitive is not good enough for KU fans. We know that. It's about winning, and KU has not won here recently. They're 4-4 in the Big 12, and now in 6th place in the Big 12 out of 10 teams, because West Virginia is now a half game ahead of them with that win last night. Who would have thunk it?
All right. I wouldn't have thought that. You know?
No. And there's a long way to go. They could easily move up to number 3 in the Big 12, but I don't think they're catching Texas or Baylor.
It doesn't appear so right now.
No. All right. Local sports. We got lots of postponements, weather-related information, so I'll let Dusty take over here.
Yeah, I mean, most of the games in the area, the immediate area, are postponed tonight. The only one that I know that's still scheduled as of now is Wilson at Osborne, and we'll keep an eye on that and see if that changes at all throughout the day. But other games that were supposed to be played tonight that have been postponed, Beloit at Sacred Heart, and that's been moved to this Thursday, January 28th. They'll play that game there. And then Lakin at Lakeside for tonight has been postponed as well. St. John's Tipton at Bennington, Thunder Ridge at Pike Valley, Southern Cloud at Sylvan Lucas, Tescott at Rock Hills, and then Hill City at Smith Center have all been postponed. The Tescott at Rock Hills was already postponed before because of some quarantines with Tescott anyway, so they weren't going to play those games tonight either way. So, and then Concordia at Abilene has been moved to February 25th, which is the Southeast of Saline. Girls are going to go to Abilene now today instead of having Concordia go there, since Abilene now has an opening. Just the girls only for Southeast at Abilene. So, you can find all your local schedules at ncksports.com for the latest and what's going on in North Central Kansas. We also remind everybody that we have high school basketball locker room chat, or high school wrestling locker room chats coming up tonight, and then basketball on Wednesday and Thursday. Tonight we'll talk with the wrestling coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center from around 5:10 to 5:15. We'll get those rolling and talk with those coaches. Again, you can always hear our basketball locker room chats and wrestling locker room chats if you ever miss them online at kittycountry94.com on the locker room chat podcast. So let's look at what's going on as far as today's high school information is concerned. Also, the Colby Orange and Black Classic, they release and give out awards every year for their tournament. tournament, and those are released yesterday, and you can find those at ncksports.com, the full awards. And there are some representatives from Osborne and Boyd. Osborne High School actually won the Marvin Stark Community Award, the only team in school that gets that at the entire tournament. So congratulations to Osborne High School on that. All academic team members, Portia Cooper of Beloit and Allison Brummer of Osborne on the girls' team, and on the boys' team, Owen Eilert of Beloit and Reagan Bales of Osborne were honored. So, again, you can find all those awards there at ncksports.com from the Colby Orange and Black Classic.
Congratulations to those individuals and doing well in the classroom, as you noted there as well. All right, Major League Baseball says no. The Players Association. Did you have something?
Trying to figure out why flies are still around.
Dude, I'll tell you something that's weird. It's funny you bring this up. So I pull into, of course, Dusty's sleeping the rest of the time. So I pull in around 6:45 this morning, and I open my truck door, and a bird flies in. Like, I open the door, it flies in, not into the truck, luckily, but it like flew, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm not. Oh, hit the brakes! I'm not supposed to go in this truck.
Yeah.
And like stopped and was up against my inside my driver's side window for just a second. I'm like, what the? And then I just kind of went with my hand, and luckily it went out. I'm like, where did that bird come from? That bird is really got to be cold right now.
Yeah.
And you're talking about flies. I know it is
gigantic
weird.
Horsefly at Colby the other day when we were setting the equipment up.
It was
and I'm
huge.
Like, what are we doing here? What is this even alive for right now?
Yes. That fly was almost as big as the bird I saw this morning out at Colby. That was a huge horsefly. Holy shnikes. Could have put a saddle on that thing. Yeah, it was. Major League Baseball Players Association says no to a couple interesting proposals. Major League Baseball is supposed to kick off their season on Thursday, April the 1st, during 66 days. Yesterday, the league informed teams that the Players Association had rejected a proposal that would have installed the universal DH, which I'm all for, in exchange for an expanded postseason and additional money. If no agreement can be reached between now and the regular season, then the season will be played under the terms of the CBA, the current collective bargaining agreement. That means only American League would have a DH and only 10 teams would make the playoffs. So in other words, things would return back to normal prior to what happened this past season during the COVID-19 shortened season. It's unclear if the two sides will continue to negotiate on proposals to incorporate the universal DH and expanded playoffs, likely to 14 teams in time for the regular season, but that could still happen. So stay tuned if you're following that. This is some pretty amazing audio, and I want to share it with you today, ladies and gentlemen. And this, you know, I know they're not everybody around here are Chiefs fans, although many people are Chiefs fans. Mm. Some are bandwagon fans. Some are legitimate fans all the way through. And that's fine. Like I said, hey, jump on the bandwagon, and it's a pretty big wagon. And hopefully it doesn't break down on the way to winning another Super Bowl. And we'll have the Super Bowl on the radio coming up on February the 7th on either KD Country 94 or Z96.3 Lake. It just kind of depends on the weather in that situation. We've talked about Patrick Mahomes being this tremendous leader, right? And we give him a lot of credit for being a tremendous leader at such a young age, that the team follows him. And it was just amazing how well he led even in 2018, his first year as a starter. And there's some players that said, we knew it in training camp back in 2008, his first year as a rookie. We just knew it. He was just different. And it helps being around his dad, a Major League Baseball player, being around professional athletes, being in clubhouses as a young person. There's no doubt about it. But it's not just Patrick Mahomes. There are many other leaders on this team for the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce is another one who was very immature for a while, who has now really matured and no doubt become a leader. And this is amazing audio to me, and I love it. And I play this not just for Chiefs fans. I play this for anyone that likes to hear encouragement. Because isn't this what society has become? So it seems. That everything is negative. Like, everything in the world is negative. I mean, if you follow the national media, almost everything is negative. Did they lead with good news? Never. It's almost always negative, especially, obviously, the last, 12 months or so. You go to the national news, the local news, it starts with a rape, a burglary, a killing, a car accident. It's never positive. Never. We try, because people around here complain, well, there's not enough positive news. And then we throw out a whole... good news of the day, and yet people don't submit good news. So you complain about not having good news, but then you won't share your good news. And so you're part of the problem. Okay? If you want to yell and scream about negative news, well, then it's up to you to try to change that negativity into positivity. And that's called, believe it or not, leadership. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Leadership. It's and I've said this before, and I've tried to tell my son, and he's a freshman, he's 14, and he will, I think, figure it out. And we've said to our kids that we've coached over the years, these kids all the way from, you know, when they were 5, 6 years old, whatever it was, as they got older, we said, listen, it is tough to be a leader. It's easy to be a follower. It's easy to be a follower. It is hard to be a leader. And that's why there aren't a lot of leaders and there's a lot of followers. Are you with me?
Yes.
Think about that for a second. It's hard to be a leader. It's easy to be a follower. And that's why we have a lot of followers and not a lot of leaders. It's true. It's very true. When somebody complains about all the negative news in the world, are they doing anything to turn that around to be positive? Or are they just bitching and moaning and complaining? And the answer is mostly the latter. Mostly. Not always, but mostly. And so I sometimes get tired of hearing that myself. And that may sound negative because I'm complaining about it. The fact is that if you want to make things better, it starts with you. It starts with you. Let me repeat. If you want things to get better, it starts with you. Look in the mirror, point the finger at yourself, and say, it starts with me. Because it's easy to be negative. It's easy to complain and whine and bellyache. We're all guilty of it. I'm not excluded from that conversation at all. In fact, I'm kind of talking to myself right now as I look into the screen and see my reflection. Okay? So this isn't to pick on anybody. This is a challenge. All right? It's a challenge. And the reason I bring this up is the Kansas City Chiefs are 14-2, actually 16-2. In one game, they didn't even, you know, try, basically, because they had all the backups in. The Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champions. Do you think that happens by accident?
No.
Do you think the New England Patriots won a whole bunch of Super Bowls by accident? Do you think LeBron James has won the titles he's won by accident? Do you think Michael Jordan won his titles by accident? The answer to that is unequivocally hell no. And I'm sorry with my language, but I'm going to be forceful here. Because I really do truly believe that we all need to be better. Because it is so easy to follow, but it's hard to be a leader. And so we try to tell this to our kids that we coach. Like, listen, when something doesn't go well, we want to hear encouragement. And it's hard for kids at young ages, right? It's hard for adults. It's easy to pile on. Like, I'll give you an example here just for me personally. You know, we do video streaming. We do a lot of it. We do it for Beloit. That's the way it's set up. We got great support to do it, and we've done it for Beloit. And we have had a lot of success with the video streams. But from time to time, we have an issue, whether it's an issue with our equipment, whether it's an issue with connectivity at the venue we're at that we cannot control, or whether or not the proper equipment is in a bag. All kinds of things like that can happen. And so we can go out and we can do 100 video streams, or we can do 100 radio broadcasts. And we could do 99 of those perfectly. And you know the one we'll hear about?
The one that had mistakes.
The one that had mistakes. Because it's easy to whine and bellyache when things go wrong. It just is. It's the easy way out, and I'm guilty of it.
Oh, yeah. I think we all are at some point. It's human nature.
Right. Yeah. It's human nature. But just because we shouldn't just brush it off and say it's human nature. Like,
no.
I'm with you. It is human nature. You're right.
We're all guilty
of it. But the reason it is human nature is because we don't take the bull by the horns and try to change things. Mm-hmm. We whine about it. We think miraculously everything's going to change if I whine about it. Or if you want to feel sorry for yourself. Things are not going to change overnight if you feel sorry for yourself. It's not easy. Life is not easy. Sports is not easy. Sports is a microcosm of life. Things are going to go your way. You're going to win some games. There are going to be sometimes you're going to lose games. But you need someone to lead. And it can't just be the coach. It's got to be somebody on the team. It has to be somebody usually that is actually on the field as well, but it can also happen from the sideline. It has to come from someone, and it has to be, like, for instance, I'll give an example. When you're winning, it's easy to be a fan, right?
Yes.
That's why we had the bandwagon fans. That's called followers. And then there's the hard part, cheering on KU football right now, or yes. K-State men's basketball. Isn't that being difficult right now?
A lot of K-State sports are difficult to cheer for
right now,
to be completely honest with you. But yes, men's basketball is
really struggling.
Yes.
And KU men's football has been bad for some time. So it's easy for everybody, including myself and Dusty, to make fun of all that and to not support those teams and to say fire the coaches and get rid of the players. That's the easy thing to do. Are you going to help recruit better players? Are you going to go coach the K-State men's basketball team? And the answer to that, of course, is of course not. But it's easy for all of us to sit here and say that, right?
Yes.
So I always say, what do I always say, Dusty? When you want to fire somebody, what do I say?
Who are you going to get to?
Who are you going to get? If you're going to complain about a problem, come up with a solution. If you have a solution, at least you have a solution, you have an idea. But when I don't lend much credibility to hardly anybody when they whine and complain and they don't have any idea how they'd fix it. If they have an idea on how to fix it, now I will listen. And I'll be like, you know what? That might not work. Or I might say, heck no, that won't work. But at least you have an idea.
Yes.
At least you have a plan. That's actually being a leader in a way, because you've come up with some kind of solution. A follower is what? Fire Weber! Les Miles is horrible. Why can't we bring in any quarterbacks? We suck. Solution would be, maybe we need to recruit different areas than we are right now. Perhaps we need to bring in better assistant coaches. I have one in mind. Things like that. See the difference?
Yes.
Okay, so at a sports level, when somebody makes a mistake, a boneheaded play, or they make a mistake, yeah, you might get on them initially. We've done that as coaches. You get on them, especially the mental error, right? You get on them, but then you usually try to build them up. Like, hey, man, okay, we'll get this one, okay? Everybody's going to make a mistake. It happens. It really does happen. But the thing is, it's easy when you're a fan to jump up and down and holler and support your team and wear all these shirts that say you've been a fan when you were just a fan 12 months ago. You know, whereas supporting it, wearing your shirt when the Chiefs are 2-14 was a little bit different, wasn't it? Same thing when you're in the dugout or on the sideline and your team and you're a teammate and things aren't going well. The easy thing to do is to what? Clam up. Clam up, not say a word. Don't get involved if you're not in the game. Don't cheer on words of encouragement or go, oh, goodness gracious, here we go again. It's a negative attitude. Whereas if you come up and say, that's all right, man. Bob, you got this one. Hey, don't sweat it, man. Don't sweat it. Happens to everybody. You got the next one. What's better? Hey, man, you got the next one. You'll be all right. Come on now. Focus. Or, Bob, what the heck are you doing? How many times have we told you? You've got to put your hand up next to the glove and look it in. Come on, Bob. You're better than that. Which one do you think's better?
Well, encouragement is always better.
Okay, thank you. So, having said all that, Mecole Hardman of the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, I was yelling at my television. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not either.
And the reason I was, because he's done this before, so that was my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Tyreek Hill, you know, he fumbled a punt. In the game against the Texans, last year in a playoff game, resulted in a touchdown. But I kind of cut some slack on that one because I knew he was trying to make a play, but also he hadn't returned punts all year long. Mecole Hardman has returned punts. So, yes, I was a Chiefs fan. I was fired up, and I was like, oh, man. And I was like, Mecole Hardman, what are you doing? Why isn't Pringle back there, right?
Yeah.
I was guilty of that. But thank God I wasn't on that football sideline for the Chiefs, because my energy would not have been good. And granted, fans' energy doesn't have to be great when you're sitting at home watching it on your Barca lounger, okay? All right? But I will say it would probably be something refreshing if you're at the Chiefs game on Sunday and Mecole Hardman fumbles that ball, if the crowd wouldn't go, and then, like, instead start clapping and go and start yelling, that's okay, Mecole, you got the next one. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
If 17,000 Chiefs fans would be like, oh. Hey, that's all right. You're human, Mecole. You got the next one, baby. You got the next one. That doesn't happen for the fans, does it?
No.
Now imagine what happens on the sideline. Does Andy Reid hang his head and go ahead and pull Mecole Hardman and don't let him play again for the rest of the game?
No.
No. What did Andy Reid do? He drew up two plays for Mecole Hardman after that, a reverse, and he drew up a touchdown wide receiver screen that could have been thrown to literally anyone on the team and would have scored. He chose Hardman. Why? To build him up. If you want to know why the Chiefs are good, or any championship team, they all have leadership. There is not a team that's won a title that hasn't had leadership.
Not at all.
It has never happened, ever, and never will. You have to have leadership. Good leadership. sometimes leadership that, yeah, might get under your skin and push you to so many spots that you never thought you could push yourself. If you watched The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, some people wouldn't have never been able to play with Michael Jordan. There have been people that would have never been able to play with Kobe Bryant. No way, Jose. They pushed the buttons, and they did yell at guys, but they always knew the end game, and they knew when to lift guys up and when to, in a way, tear them down a little bit. Now I'm saying it's usually better to build up than tear down. Listen to this audio from inside the National Football League, from the sidelines of the game, after Mecole Hardman botched a punt return, fumbled it at the 2, a gift-wrapped touchdown for the Bills, and the Bills are going to go up 9-0. Do you think the Chiefs are screaming and yelling at Mecole Hardman? And where do you think they're upset with Mecole Hardman? Did they give up on Mecole Hardman? Listen very carefully. This is not just for Chiefs fans. This is for people in life. Listen.
A lot of plays left to be made. You got to trust them boys for you, all right?
Now Buffalo's got goal to go after the fumbled punt.
Hey!
Bring it on an end around to Mecole Hardman. He's got plenty of room. He's at the 25-30. Road gear, 45-50. They block the next guy, 40-35. Andy Reid dials up the jet for 51. They throw it left side to Hardman on a wide receiver screen into the end zone. Touchdown!
Helping us to forget about that muff punt.
Hey, that's how you handle a varsity. You smack it right in the mouth.
Listen. Those voices you heard are Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I want to play that last little bit right here.
That's how you handle a varsity. You smack it right in the mouth.
That's awesome. It gives me chills. Travis Kelce says, that's how you handle adversity, man. Like, Kelce and Mahomes are coming over to Hardman saying, we got this. You're going to make a play. You're going to make a play. We be us. We be us. We know who we are. We be us. You be you. You're going to make a play. And he did. He made 2 plays.
Yeah.
Didn't make a mistake the rest of the game. And I still love Kelce's last line.
That's how you handle a varsity. You smack it right in the mouth.
You don't cave under adversity. You smack it in the mouth. That's why the Chiefs win all these close games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these national media talking heads that whine about the Chiefs not winning by enough. Oh, my Lord. If that's the biggest criticism you have of the Chiefs, then by God, the Chiefs are your team. Because it ain't about winning by 30 every game. It ain't about style points. It's about winning. And the Chiefs are the best in the National Football League at winning since Patrick Mahomes became quarterback of their team. In the last 26 starts, Patrick Mahomes 25-1. All they do is win. And it doesn't matter if they win by 40 or 1. They win. They're 9-0 in one possession games this year. Or 7 points and less, whatever it is.
That's not by accident.
they welcome adversity. They're down 9-0 to the Bills, and they didn't flinch.
No.
They're down 24-0 last year, the Texans at home, and all the Chiefs fans are freaking out. And here's the crazy thing. If the Chiefs kingdom was actually running this football team, it would have imploded way long ago. Mm-hmm. You would have got rid of every player that made any mistake ever. Because they're perfect, right? They got to be perfect for you. You know, you, the out-of-shape person that's, you know, I'm talking about myself,
yeah.
Sitting on the couch, having a beer in the left hand, a piece of pizza in your right hand, or whatever it might be. Nobody's perfect. Kelce dropped a pass last game. Mahomes has thrown interceptions. He's fumbled the ball. I mean, Mahomes has thrown the ball behind his intended target. Tyreek Hill dropped a pass. Mecole Hardman wasn't the only one that made a mistake on Sunday against the Bills is the point.
Mm-hmm.
Charvarius Ward dropped an interception. Juan Thornhill had an interception. The Chiefs got penalties. Chris Jones punched somebody inside the helmet and got lucky that he didn't get thrown out of the game. That could have been a big no-no. Well, it was a no-no, but he didn't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a mistake, even though it wasn't, you know, caught. Mecole Hardman, he was embarrassed and upset because he fumbled inside the 5 and knew he gave the Bills 7 points, which luckily the kicker missed the extra point, so it was 6. But he came right back. He didn't hang his head. And maybe he never would have. Maybe nobody came over to him. He would have been fine. But his teammates made sure he was fine.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce came over, and they made sure he was fine. And you know why they did that? Because they know they make mistakes too. And they know that Mecole Hardman will support them. And that's the culture and the organization the Kansas City Chiefs have. They have a coach that they love to play for. They have a coach that when you make a mistake, he's going to give you the ball usually the next time. He believes in you. Now, granted, if you fumbled multiple times, you're probably going to be out of the game. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But everybody makes a mistake. And people in life, we make mistakes. You know, if God forbid, one video stream doesn't get on right, it's still okay. 99 were pretty good. You know? And, oh, my goodness, this kid, he's a great free throw shooter, but he missed a couple free throws. Does that make him a horrible free throw shooter? No, he'd missed two free throws. It happens. Dame Lillard, the professional athlete, missed two clutch free throws in a game last year and cost him the game. That's a guy that practices all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It happens to people. The best of the best. What we tend to forget with athletes, and entertainers for that matter, is that they're human. They bleed just like us. They cry just like us. And they enjoy success and just like us. But here's the difference. They handle failure, in many cases, a lot better than us. They handle adversity a lot better than us. And you can learn, and I know there's some people that aren't sports fans. Well, I don't like sports. Sports is overrated. There's too much influence. There's too much focus on it. And you know what? To an extent, you're probably right. But sports can be great. And that's why I always encourage kids of any age, but especially when they're younger. And I know sometimes it's hard. If you only have a single mom or single dad, they got to work, and then one kid's got to watch the other kids. You can't go out for activities. That's a bummer. That's a bummer. Just it's the hand you were dealt. That's major adversity you got to deal with. But if you possibly can, get your kid involved in some kind of extracurricular activity, not just sitting at home playing video games. All right, I'm talking about get your kid to where they're in band. They're in music, they're in the dance team, they in chorus, chorale, whatever you want to call it, debate, forensics, basketball, wrestling, football, whatever, something. You know, chess club, I don't care, something. To where they can socialize with each other, but also to be part of a team. Because if you've never been a part of a team, guess what happens in life? When you go work for the local bank, you know what you're part of? A team. Dusty and I are a two-man team here, but we're a team. I mean, you can be a team of two. You can. What do you think a husband and wife is?
Yeah.
You're a team.
Yeah.
You're a duo.
Better be anyway.
You better be. And if you're not together on the same page, then that causes friction and problems in your household. So what the Chiefs do leadership-wise is just, I mean, I just wish it would ooze out to Chiefs Kingdom, and not only Chiefs Kingdom, but across the country. And by the way, it's not just the Kansas City Chiefs that are great leaders. There was a great video they showed as well. When the Bills, when they knew the game was over, Josh Allen went and hugged every single one of his teammates that he could find and patted him on the head, patted him on the rear, like, dude, we had a great run. And every one of them immediately got up or embraced. They're not as you can tell, everyone respects Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And that's called a leader. And he's only 24. He's younger than Mahomes. And I'm telling you, that's why the Bills can do some special things, and that's why that's the team, honestly, I'm more worried about, the Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And I've said this and over, Lamar Jackson isn't nearly the leader that Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes is, and that's part of the problem in Baltimore. Okay, they got a great, talented guy, but he loses his poise, and he gets all frustrated, throws his helmet, this and that, which, you know, I know Tom Brady's done that before. He's thrown his helmet in frustration. I get it. Tom Brady's a really good leader. He can't win all these Super Bowls without being a great leader. He is. I mean, wherever he goes, he wins. Do you think that's because he's a great quarterback? Well, he is a great quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback anymore in regards to his physical prowess. There's lots of quarterbacks that have better skills than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady has the whole package. He can make guys better. He works extremely hard, and wherever he goes, he wins. New England, Tampa Bay, does he have weapons? Of course he does, but he makes people around him better, and that is called a great leader. When you make everybody around you better, and that's no question what Patrick Mahomes does, and Andy Reid as well. Andy Reid came. Think about this for a second. People forget this. Andy Reid came to Kansas City. What was the Chiefs' record the year before he came?
2-14.
And what was his record after 9 games with the Chiefs the very next year?
9-0.
That's insane. He got Alex Smith, who's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, but a good quarterback. Traded, got him with a second round draft pick, and said, "Okay, I got a quarterback I can work with." That was the first thing identified. He says, did Andy Reid come in the Chiefs and go, 2-14, I'm just going to go with the same exact players? No, he got guys he knew would fit his system, and eventually, guess what? He's turned it into a Super Bowl champion. And, oh, yeah, it helps when you trade up and pick up Patrick Mahomes. But that wasn't luck. That was scouting. That was doing your diligence, knowing this guy is the real deal, and we believe this is our guy, and we're going to give what we got to give to trade up 17 picks, ironically, with the Buffalo Bills. To get Patrick Mahomes. The Bills could have had Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs maybe could have had Josh Allen down the line. leadership. It's Andy Reid's a great leader. Brett Veach has done a great job. These, you think last year, after you win a Super Bowl, usually what happens is guys depart for a whole bunch of bigger contracts. You know, Kendall Fuller left. You know, he's one of the few that left. But what happened with the Chiefs? And granted, a few of them came back because there just wasn't better deals out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was some guys that had two-year options instead of one-year deals on the table, but they wanted to come back to the Chiefs. Think the Chiefs brought back 21 of their 22 starters until the opt-outs. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of for a team that wins a championship. You know why Le'Veon Bell came to Kansas City? Because he knew it was his best chance to get a ring, and he also is friends with Chris Jones, and Chris Jones said everything about how great the culture and the organization is and said, dude, you can't mess up this time. You've got to come to KC. Now, Le'Veon Bell hasn't been a big impact for the Chiefs, but you know what? He hasn't been a problem in the locker room, has he?
No.
People seem to think he was a problem in New York. He never was. They said he was a great teammate. He comes to Kansas City. Do you see him complaining that he's inactive, although he had a knee injury? Do you see him complaining when he barely got the ball in the game against the Browns? No.
No.
He doesn't. He knows how to fit in. You know why he fits in? Because leaders are already established, and that's called Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, and others. And what they did with Mecole Hardman in this game is exact reason why the Chiefs continue to win. Go back to the 24-0 deficit. It was caught on the side where Patrick Mahomes came around to everybody on that sideline and said, listen, we can come back. We're okay. We know what to do. You know, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of game left. I mean, he was fired up. That helped.
Yeah.
There's no question it helped.
Yeah.
Because if your leader fully, truly believes and you follow your leader, then you have a chance. If your leader has given up, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
You're done.
Sure.
If Patrick Mahomes just comes down and sulks down 24-0 last year, that team's dead. It's over. There is no Super Bowl. You know, if Patrick Mahomes comes over and yells and screams, or Andy Reid at Mecole Hardman, I'm thinking there's problems later on in this game against the Bills or later on. It doesn't happen with this team. Do they get on each other at time to time to push each other? Oh, sure, that happens. That's part of leadership. But in that situation where you can be really upset, you're down 3-0, and Mecole Hardman made a really bad mistake. There's no doubt. He should have called a fair catch. It was a big boo-boo, no doubt. Cost him points. And Mahomes and Kelce say, dude, it's all good. We'll be us. You're going to make a play. Keep your head up. You're going to make a play. And then he did a couple plays, and Kelce says, that's how you deal with adversity. You hit it in the mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but after listening to that audio, I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan or not, I want to play for those guys. I want to play with Travis Kelce. I want to play with Patrick Mahomes. And yeah, I won't play because I'm, you know, fat and out of shape and overweight and old. But I will go to bat and play for those guys any day just from that, listening to that. I'm fired up wanting to run through a wall for those guys right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine guys are actually on their team and see all the work they put in behind the scenes. That is tremendous leadership. And that is a big reason why the Kansas City Chiefs are the reigning Super Bowl champions. And every championship team has leadership. Every successful company has great leadership. It's very simple. And so you have to decide as a person, do you want to be a negative Nelly or do you want to be a positive person? Do you want to be part of the solution or part of the problem? And that's one of the problems we have in our country. We're so divided. Our elected officials do it. They point fingers. They do this. They do that. It filters down. We have people, I know friends that always want to make this a blue versus red, Democrat versus Republican, black versus white, whatever it might be. And it's got to stop because it doesn't do any good. It is not healthy to do it. And you know how I know that? Is because I've been a member of teams all my years. I've been members of teams when I was high school. I was on members of teams that weren't very good in high school. And you know what we didn't have? One, we didn't have good leadership. We didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't. And we were average to below average. My first year, we had great leadership. That senior class graduated, and nobody ever filled the void. And the next 3 years, we're below average. And I love basketball. That was my number one sport. And you can sit here and say, well, Wade, why didn't you be a leader? I was trying to be a leader, but I didn't really truly know how to be one, to be quite honest with you.
Sure.
And at that age, you're 16, 17, you're still learning. That's why I try not to get too hard on the kids now. I know it's frustrating. Us parents talk about it all the time, about how our certain class with our kids in it, you know, it's got to click. It's got to go. At some point, this is going to kick in, and they're going to be leaders. And it will. It'll happen. Whether it happened when they're in high school, I don't know. But it will happen. It will happen when they're 25 and they're, you know, working for a company. It may happen that they're going to invent their own company and be a millionaire. They might end up not being a millionaire and have a really be a great father. That's being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's all kinds of ways to be a leader. But I'm going to say it one more time. It is hard to be a leader. It's easy to be a follower. And many of us take the easy route, and as a result, we don't have as many leaders because it's hard. And when it's hard, what do people typically do? Shy away.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know what? That is human nature. But that's something you can sit here and complain about and whine about and say it's got to change. But here's the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen. The divisiveness in our country doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen because a whole bunch of people all at once decide to change things. It happens one person at a time. And the only thing you can control, ladies and gentlemen, is your actions. You can't control even your wife's actions. You can't control your son's actions. You can only control your actions. And I have to be better. There's no doubt I have to be better. There's times I get into this negative thinking. I'm not trying to shift blame here, but when I was growing up, my dad, I heard more negativity than positivity. Not towards me.
Sure, just in general. Yeah.
Farming.
Yeah, exactly.
Farming. Oh, exactly. My God. I always heard of how my dad wanted to get off the farm. Everything was hard. Everything. And he worked his butt off, and he didn't back down from it. And I admire him for that. And he's been successful. He's not this gigantic, huge farmer. That doesn't mean he can't be successful. But my dad, I would hear over and over about how prices keep going up for machinery and this and that. And then, you know, the weather, complain about the weather. Man, everybody knows, even farmers will admit, they complain about the weather all the time. And you hear about that negativity. I'm not trying to pick on farmers. I'm just using an example with my dad. I heard that negativity. And I know I've caught up in it myself. And I'm not trying to blame my dad because he probably got it from his dad. And I love my grandpa. I love my dad. Those things kind of filter down. And for me, I've got to stop personally. And there's times where I try to catch myself. If I say something negative or leaning towards negative around my children, I need to catch myself and try to set a better example. Because it's kind of hit me recently, and especially after hearing this yesterday, that when the whole Mahomes and Kelce, but Hardman, is that even as a coach as well, I'm not the best coach at all. I coach little kids at other sports. I can be a much better coach. I can be a much better person. I can be a much better husband. I can be a much better father. I can be a much better son. I can be a much better boss. I can be a much better coworker. Whatever it may be, I can be better. Do I settle to just be what I am? Sometimes I think people do. And I think probably I am guilty of that as well. But at some point, it starts with you. Dusty's not going to make me better. He could push me to be better. I can push him to be better. But it really comes down to Dusty wanting to be better or me wanting to be better. And so it starts with you. And once you can do that, and if you can take some of your negativity and turn it into more positive energy, and I've tried to really do that this year because I know, for instance, what our school teams are going through this year with sports, okay? I am trying to be very, very positive. And it's patience is a virtue, and it's difficult. That's not easy either. And so I try to focus on the good things and then say, hey, here's something you could do a little bit better individually talking to my kid. I usually try to start with a positive, and then I say, okay, here's just some advice on this play. I'm not being critical. I'm not telling him he should or shouldn't do it this way. I'm saying something to think about later on. If I come home and I just start yelling at him, like, what the heck were you doing? What were you thinking? That's not going to help.
No.
It's not going to help. Would I like that if Dusty came in yelling at me? No, I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't deal with it. And so it is really important that you handle things the right way, the best you can, and be as positive as you can, because it's very easy to slide into that, woe is me, negativity, and it keeps bringing you down and down and down. And you need somebody to lift you up. And sometimes it can't just be you that lifts yourself up. You do need somebody to help you lift yourself up. That's what Mahomes and Kelce did with Mecole Hardman. They lifted him up. And then it was up to him to run with it. They couldn't run the ball for Mecole Hardman when he got the ball next time.
No.
He could have easily fumbled it. He could have, you know, dropped the wide receiver screen and could have made one mistake into two. They helped him get pointed in the right direction, but it's still Mecole Hardman that deserves the credit for making the plays. And that, I think, we need to be a little bit more open to in life, because it's so easy for us to criticize. It's so easy for us to jump on somebody. Instead of stopping to think, I wonder what they're going through. Like, I wonder why the video stream isn't working right now. I'm guessing they're just as frustrated as I am. Mm-hmm. But people don't think that way. They're just immediately frustrated, and it's all about them. Well, I can't watch the game. Well, it's still on the radio. Yeah. Well, that's different. Why is it? It's still covered. You at least got some kind of access to it. You know, people complaining about not attending ball games because of COVID-19. Yeah, it stinks. I get it. Don't get me wrong. So what's the next best way for you to follow your team? Video streaming in some cases. Some cases, it's just radio. In some cases, you're just out of luck. There are a lot of schools that don't have video streaming. There are a lot of schools that don't even have radio. They're lucky to get one game. We got one game on the radio at Waukini, and that's when Phillipsburg played us. Because Phillipsburg had a radio station. Waukini didn't. We never had any games on the radio. And that's why these years later, when people whine about one video stream not working, I start just laughing internally. I'm like, you have no idea how spoiled you are. You have no freaking idea how spoiled you are. And at the same time, I have no idea how freaking spoiled I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in regards to all the winning that the teams we've covered over the years, and now suddenly things don't go as well, I realize, holy shnikes, man, was I spoiled.
Yeah.
So we're all in this together, but it starts with you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out who wants to lead too, right?
You just don't appoint a leader and people, say lead.
There's some people innately that have that in them, right? And some people have to build that. They have to develop it. Some people are just born with it. There's no question about that.
Yes.
But like you said, when you're in high school, you're kind of still learning who you are, right?
Right.
When I was in high school, like, I was that person, like, I'm going to use basketball as an example because we went 0-20 when I was playing high school basketball. And
hard to be a leader on an 0-20 team.
Exactly. And I'm doing it in my mind at that age, right? I'm doing everything to my best capability. And I feel like I might be better than about 6 or 7 guys that are getting regular playing time, right? Mm-hmm. And in my mind, and then we go to school, and some of those 6 or 7 guys that are ahead of me are saying during class, how bad are we going to lose to Norton tonight?
Mm-hmm.
That is not leadership.
Okay.
And they didn't have the talent to be able to win games, but it's like, okay, we don't have the talent, so let's just go play.
Sounds like he gave up.
Yeah, and it was. There was no question by mid-season that year.
Right.
It was, and a coach was gone too because he'd been there a long time, and it's like, I'm not helping you guys. You guys aren't helping any. It's one of those deals where, like, I can't reach them,
right,
and I can't help them. And there's just all kinds of things that were going on there. But there was no leadership, honestly, from top down.
And it is hard, in fairness, in life, too. If you get beaten down over and over and over, just like in a sports team, like you're 0-20, you keep losing over and over and over.
It wears on you,
and it is human nature.
I mean, well, you're 2-18 the year before that, too, right? So you're 2-38 over 2 years. And so, and you've got kids that, and you know, we were kids then, so that's why I use that.
Sure.
You've got guys on the team that just, you know, they know they're not good, so they're not, you know, the effort slows down as each game goes on. And so, but, you know, me and my buddy are sitting at the end of the bench, and we're like, well, at least we'll get a play in this game once the clock runs to 30 so we can actually get in and play and showcase what we might have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was more the mentality I took. I said, if I'm going to get in the game, I'm going to try to do something and try to impress somebody because I knew I wasn't getting opportunities I thought maybe I should have, right?
Right.
And so I had to figure out in my mind how I needed to go about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're a kid, it doesn't go the right way. You need positive encouragement from other people, right? Like you're talking about, you know, talk to your son, maybe do something different this time around. Not just screaming at him.
Yeah, right?
So I go with that too. Like my brother-in-law will tell me, like, hey, with my nephew Dylan, he'll be like, hey, just talk to Dylan about some of these things because he don't listen to his parents, right?
Right.
So that's
different
me. I'm trying to be that leader as an uncle, right? I'm trying to give him encouragement of, you know, things might not be going right for you, but, you know, one of the things I really work on him with is treat your body right, right? Because I wish I would have done that when I was in high school.
Yeah, right.
So I think about it, right? And it's like, you know, make sure you're hydrated when you're going out for these. I mean, you need to, if you want to get where you want to get, right? Because he's always had those aspirations of playing D1 ball. So I'm like, you just give him encouragement and try to give him what you think is the best. I have no idea what it takes to be a Division I athlete,
right?
Okay. But I do know from other people what I've seen them do to get to that level,
right?
And I can give encouragement. And I think that's the biggest thing. No matter if you're in adversity like this, on you fumbled you muffed a punt,
right,
or just in life in general, if you have somebody that can give you positive encouragement after you're down,
right,
things are way different than if you don't have that. And if you don't have that interaction with
right,
the people, because I've seen people that don't have that, and it doesn't go great. So you always need positive encouragement. You always need leadership, no matter what realm of life you're in.
Right. I can just think of a couple of things personally. Like, you know, for instance, when something of yours is broken by someone else, what's your first reaction?
You're pretty mad.
You're mad.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
No.
Because the person actually already feels bad because they know they broke it.
Yeah.
And I'm bad at that. I'm just going to be upfront with people. Like, when somebody does something to mess something up of mine that I've spent my money on or I've saved for, you know, and they do something, my first thing is, what were you thinking? What were you doing? Instead of taking a deep breath, calming down and saying, all right, that person already knows they made a boo-boo, whether it's my kid, my wife, or whatever, and then deal with it instead of getting upset about it.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that when those things happen, all right? I'm not. And so I'm 45, and I can improve. There's no question about it. And the other thing I was going to say is, you know, I've talked with my oldest about this, and I've told him a few times, and I'm letting people a little peek behind the curtain here in my life, and I don't have to share this, but I am, because maybe some people at home can relate, or maybe I'm just a weirdo and I'm the only one that deals with this. I have no idea, because I'm not in other people's homes. I don't know what they deal with.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've apologized to my son before, because I've told him, I've said, you know what, I got upset. I'm sorry. I should not have got upset about that. I should have handled that better. So forth and so on. And I always tell him, I said, don't ever try to be me. I tell my son, I've told him, and not that he's trying to be me, but I just tell him, I say, never try to be like me. What I say is, never try to be like me, be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and that, I'm not talking sports.
Yeah.
I'm talking be a better person. I said, I want you to be a better person. I want you at someday to be a better father. I want you to someday, I want you to be a better man than I am. That's what I've told him before. Because at the end of the day, when we all go to wherever we think we go, whether you think you'll be judged or not, I believe you will be. I'm not going to score high points in some categories, probably.
Mm.
I just won't, because I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. But there's always room for improvement. And I think what happens with people is, and it's easy, I've been guilty of this, is that you get into a rut sometimes, or you're like, you know what, that's who I am. You know, it's just the way I am. You got to deal with it. Which, there's times I feel that way. You're like, you know what, if you don't like me for who I am, it's tough. I am who I am. And we always say, well, people don't change their colors. People can change their colors. I don't like that saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can. You know why I know you can change your colors? Because I know of recovered addicts. I know friends of mine that are recovering alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's true. Technically, you always have that fear. But you can be a recovering, you can have been sober for 30 years. You changed your colors.
Yeah.
You changed your colors. I mean, we've seen people get second chances where even people have been locked up. They got a second chance in life, and they have changed their colors. And it can be a wake-up call, whatever that might be. And so positivity helps. And I try to have conversations with my oldest, because I really am not quite there yet with my youngest. He's 7, and my middle child, I can't communicate with him word for word. As you know, he has Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and he's a special needs child, or a typical child, whatever you want to call him. And so I didn't have those talks with my dad, because my dad was always working his ASS off.
100, same here. You don't have those conversations.
You don't have those conversations.
I mean,
my dad gets home from the field 11 o'clock at night. He's working all day long, and then I got to go to school. And then I get up in the morning. He's already out. He's out the door before I'm eating breakfast to go get on the bus. My dad's already, I mean, I admire my dad for that. I love my dad for that, because he provided for our family. But you know what? He worked so hard that he missed a lot of stuff. He did.
Yeah.
And your dad's probably the same way.
Yeah.
And as a result, he was doing it to help the family, and doing it the best he could one day at a time, right?
Yeah.
And yet, because he did all that, you as a child can miss out on those opportunities to have those conversations. Luckily for me, I have to admit, farming is a lot harder than working at a radio station.
Why do you think I'm here and not on the farm, right?
That's exactly why I'm here, too.
I figured that out real fast.
My dad told me one of the best pieces of advice he ever gave me. He said, son, never go into farming unless it's a hobby. That's what my dad told me. And I was like, don't worry, Dad, not planning on
it. My dad didn't have to tell me.
Right.
He never told me anything like that. If I would have taken over his farm, he probably would have been ecstatic about it. But I knew right away. It was like, yeah, no.
My dad never groomed me to be the take over the farm. My dad, I think, knew that he didn't really want me to. Mm-hmm. Some people want to hand it off to their kids, whatever the case may be. You know, my oldest son has no interest in radio at all. And that's fine. I've never said anything for him. He voiced ads when he was 4 years old. You know, I mean, that's the only. I mean, he doesn't even worry about radio, and that's fine. I want him to do his own thing.
Yes.
But the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we work so hard, and then we miss out on things, and also we get caught up in everything that's happening in our life, and we don't and we focus on the negative so much that we forget to accentuate the positives. And we try to do that, and I've been doing that a lot more, and I think my wife and I have been doing that at home, is especially we try to pray every night. We didn't used to do that at the dinner table. We do a lot more now, and we try to understand that, and I try to tell my oldest especially is, listen, when you complain about doing the dishes, there are people that don't have a roof over their head. So you got nothing really to complain about, you know, from that standpoint. Now, is that positive or negative? It's kind of a combination of both. It's like, dude, quit whining. At the same time, understand things are worse off for somebody else. And as he gets older, he understands more of that. He sees people that is in his school that aren't as well off as maybe he is. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are better off than he is. That's always going to happen in life. But going back to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce lifting up Mecole Hardman, we need more of that in society. We need a lot more of that in society.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, didn't plan on going that route, but that's why this show's not scripted.
Yeah.
Because I think when you script shows, it seems to be a little bit predictable. Patrick Mahomes, listen to this. Most playoff games with 3-plus passing touchdowns with no interceptions. Tom Brady has 6 of those games. He's made 44 playoff starts. Aaron Rodgers has 5 such games in the playoffs. He's had 20 starts. Joe Montana, 4 such games like that, 23 starts. Patrick Mahomes in 7 starts as a playoff quarterback with the Kansas City Chiefs. He has 4 playoff games with 3 or more passing touchdowns and no interceptions already. 4 of his first 7.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think here. He was 1-1, 4-1. And I'd be right. They're 6-1. 6-1 in the playoffs. His only loss was he didn't get a flip, coin flip. Also, what's interesting, all these talking heads, and there is that negativity out there, and it's easy to see that negativity. It's all around us. It's on TV. You could say it's on the radio. You could say it's even during the show sometimes. I get it. If you think the players don't know what's going on, they do. They say it. We block out the noise. Yeah, you do sometimes, but you let some of it in. Patrick Mahomes admitted that yesterday on an interview with 610 Sports out of Kansas City. There's been all this talk, you know, we've heard it, talking heads, Colin Cowherd, who just likes to get people riled up, Skip Clueless, as I call him, Bayless, he just likes to get people riled up, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, it don't matter, whoever it is, they whined and talked about how the Chiefs are living on borrowed time, all these close wins. What they don't know is they don't follow our team like we follow our team. We know that they played their level of competition, and they do have a switch they can flip, just like the Bulls always could, the Lakers always could. We know this, and if they really paid attention, they know it too. But they just want people to click on clickbait and whatever the case may be. But Mahomes has heard the noise. Listen to this comment from Mahomes. This is why Mahomes is one of the greatest already, and this is why he could be the greatest of all time, possibly. He probably has to beat Brady in the Super Bowl for that to happen, to be quite honest with you. But this is what makes the great stand out amongst the mere mortals, okay? And I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes is immortal. What I'm saying is Patrick Mahomes is unique. We already established how unique of a leader he is, but the greats have to come up with a way to motivate themselves. You know why? Because they're so good they get bored.
Yeah.
We've seen that with The Last Dance with Jordan. Kobe had to do it. Jordan made up a whole story about a guy, the poor guy, and went out and torched him. just to get him fired up, made up a comment and threw it out in the media about some guy saying something to him and about a game, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do. Listen to what Mahomes has been doing with the noise about, the Chiefs aren't doing this, they're not good enough, they're not doing enough.
You get tired of kind of hearing in the media over the last 3 to 4 or 5 weeks of we're not doing things good enough when we're winning football games. And you try not to listen to it, but you see it every single day, and so you just get bored of it. We see it, and we don't need more to motivate us, but I like a little edge here and there.
I like a little edge here and there. That sums it up, man. Yeah. That's what makes him great. That's what the greats always are like. They love that. They love to be challenged. They love to be doubted. And you know what that's called? Turning adversity into a positive.
Yeah.
Turning criticism into a positive. And that's just what Patrick Mahomes does. He makes things positive.
Yeah. I put it...
Mahomes for president.
Out there, too. Like, he's got just the right level of pettiness.
He does.
As a franchise quarterback and a great in this league, right?
Yes.
You know, with the 1, 2, 3, 4, you mm-hmm. know, that was, you know, four.
A chip on his shoulder, something to prove.
You got to put something on there, right? So, yeah. Like, for those people that, and don't misconstrue what I'll say here, but for those people that watched The Last Dance and watched Michael Jordan and how he motivated himself, what Bradford Smith didn't even say anything to him, and he made that story up, right? Now, I don't know if Patrick's going to make any stories up because he probably doesn't need to, but he's got so much Jordan in him.
He does.
Of what you see from that leadership that you saw there. He's not quite as angry, I don't think, as Mike sometimes.
He leads in a much more positive way.
But the chip on the shoulder, yes. The way he carries himself, the mentality that he takes into a game, and being a leader, no matter how you do it, there's a lot there mm-hmm. that I see.
I agree with
as you. I'm watching him right now become great, and as I watched Michael Jordan become great when I was very, very young.
Right.
But you probably saw more of that early in his career than I did, obviously. Mm-hmm. But don't misconstrue that. And I'm right now saying Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan.
Right.
He's the greatest of all time in his sport and whatever. And whatever, you know, accolades would go with that, with what I say there. But the way he conducts himself and leads and understands that he's great
mm-hmm.
and doesn't care that he'll let people know that him and his team are great.
Right.
We understand that, and we're just going to keep building on it and run it back, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that mentality
yeah.
of a Jordan or now Mahomes or a Kobe, if you don't have that kind of mentality about run it back and you're just sitting there saying it and not really putting it into action.
Right.
And it's not just Mahomes, like you said. It's Kelsey. It's all these other guys that have been there that need to do it. But, yeah, he's just – I love that, just right. You know, last year against the Bears, you know, counting to 10 because, you know.
Right, because he drafted 10th. Trubisky was taken second.
Yeah.
The greats are never satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe, we talked about yesterday, after winning a title, they talked about, you know, winning a title again and about last year, and Kobe's like, I'm not even thinking about last year. That was last year. It's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
I'm focused on winning it this year. It's about this year. I mean, they just move on to the next challenge. And that's what Mahomes did as soon as they won the Super Bowl last year.
I mean,
they knew they don't just want to be good. They want to be one of the greatest teams of all time in the National Football League. They want to be a dynasty. And everybody's bought into that. And that's a big reason why they're where they are today as well. No doubt.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Bucks and Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Andy Reid, his team, obviously going to be a little shorthanded. No Eric Fisher. Mitchell Schwartz been out for a long time on IR. So they're missing their Pro Bowl left tackle and right tackle, which could be a problem against the Bucks front four, who got pressure on Green Bay, who was with a backup tackle because their all-pro tackle was out. I think the Chiefs, with 2 weeks to prepare, will come up with a good game plan to protect Patrick Mahomes, I think. But if they can't, then I think the Chiefs are in trouble. Here's Andy Reid on dealing with all the shuffling on the offensive line.
They practice that during the week. Andy Heck does a great job of maneuvering people around and giving them opportunities to play all the different positions. So, this is where Brett comes in. I mean, his thought of bringing Wiz here, and then Wiz is able to step in a guard, and he's experienced, and he's done that at all these different positions where he doesn't miss a beat. He's always a step ahead and making sure that he covers the bases. So that's much appreciated by the coaches. And I know the players have a ton of respect for him too.
So the Chiefs dealing with the shortage there on the offensive line with no left tackle, all pro, and Eric Fisher out with a torn Achilles. Speaking of injuries, Cole Beasley broke his fibula in what may have occurred back in week 16 against New England. He missed the next game, and then he played in the wild card game, and he was limping a lot, had 7 catches for 57 yards, and the Bills win over the Colts in the wild card game. He didn't have a catch against the Ravens in their divisional win, but he did play. And then against the Chiefs on Sunday, it's 7 catches, 88 yards. Cole Beasley was playing on a broken leg, and he knew it. How about that? You might say that's not very bright. Or you can say, man, that's gutsy. Yeah, playing on a broken fibula, Cole Beasley, all the way to the end. Doesn't have to have surgery. It's going to heal on its own, they say. That's leadership in a way, too. You may say, well, is that leadership? Because now you're really kind of condoning playing hurt and could make things worse on your body down the line. Yeah, but at the same time, it is leadership, because if other guys got these little aches and pains, and if they're sitting here thinking about sitting out or not going, and they see a guy that has a broken leg playing, they don't have much of an excuse not to suck it up and go put it out there for the team, right? So that's a form of leadership, too. One of the best leaders in sports history is no doubt, and I know some people may or may not like to hear this, but LeBron James. LeBron James has been on, what, they've been to 10 NBA finals, and he's won 4 championships. I mean, LeBron is one of the great leaders of all time. You don't make it to the, I mean, Tom Brady's made it to 10 now Super Bowls, and LeBron's been to 10 NBA finals. Those are the only two professional athletes have accomplished that in the modern era. It's amazing, and the Lakers very well could go to the NBA finals again this year. LeBron James, I believe, what, he turned 36 here recently? LeBron James last night went up against his original team, the Cleveland Cavaliers, hadn't done that in a couple years, and LeBron last night scored 46 points. Now, you may say, oh, that's just LeBron. You know, that's what he does. It is the last game that the Lakers will play before the first anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death, of course, passing away in that helicopter crash a year ago, which, hard to believe that's been a year. James became the oldest Laker to score 40 points in a game since Kobe Bryant scored his 60 points in his farewell performance in 2016. Bryant's death is already on the team's mind as the anniversary nears. Lakers coach Frank Vogel revealed yesterday that he has given the team today off to reflect as they see fit. And then on Wednesday, they'll play in Philadelphia, Bryant's hometown, in what will surely be an emotional affair. But Monday gave the Lakers a welcome distraction as LeBron went nuts and had 46 points and made 7 three-pointers. So very interesting. LeBron continues to add to his legacy as if he needs to. He doesn't. He could retire right now, and he will be bona fide one of the top 5 players of all time, if not the greatest of all time. You can have that argument with your friends about Jordan or LeBron or whoever. I'm not going to get into that because you're not going to change anybody's opinion. But it is interesting to see what LeBron is still able to do. And today is the 1-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant passing away. I hate to say anniversary. It just doesn't sound right. Yeah. It's the 1 year ago today. That's just probably the best way to just put it. 1 year ago today, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash along with his daughter, Gigi. It's hard to believe it's been 12 months. It seems like it's been a long time ago, but yet it doesn't. Of course, COVID made 2020, along with everything else, lots of bad things happened in 2020.
Your concept of time was just really up. Changed
right
during all that.
But this is the 1 year. 1 year ago today, Kobe Bryant, we lost Kobe Bryant at the age of 42. And it is crazy that LeBron scored 46 last night, which is the most for the oldest. It's the most for the oldest Laker since Kobe when he scored 60 in his farewell. Uh-huh. And it was the day before, and they're taking the day off. And then guess where they play tomorrow? In Kobe's hometown of Philadelphia.
Wow.
It's just weird how that all aligns, isn't it? Although I guess the schedule could have made that happen.
If you think about it ahead of time.
But I remember exactly where I was. I was helping coach our basketball team, and we were in the gym. And I remember Ryan Eilert coming over to me while we were running 11-man. We were running 11-man drill, and Ryan comes over and shows me the phone. He didn't even say anything. He shows me the phone, and I won't repeat what I said. I was like, oh, man. And we brought the kids together at the end of practice, and Ryan just explained what happened. And some of them knew Kobe, you know, they understood who Kobe was, and some of them probably maybe didn't so much. But, you know, we just tried to tell him that that puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about being a better person. Kobe Bryant, you know, became a better person. He made mistakes. He became a better person, but he was highly respected and did a lot of really good things for others, even when he was playing, but then also after he was playing. And he had a big impact on WNBA and women's basketball and all of these things. And so we're talking about being a better person and so forth and so on. Like, Kobe Bryant became a better person and then was taken away way too soon. So I did not realize that until just a few minutes ago, that 1 year ago today, Kobe Bryant passed away in a helicopter crash.
Yeah, I was watching the Pro Bowl, so I was getting tired. It was a Sunday, and it was Sunday right after the long week, right? Yeah. So I actually was watched just a little bit of the Pro Bowl. I'm like, I can't. I'm taking a nap, and I just laid down and got on my phone and saw it on there right when I laid down. Like, that's when it started breaking, and I'm like, I didn't get a nap in that day. Let's just put it that way. All the hoaxes that are out there. How many times did Jackie Chan die?
I know, that was like the thing. I was hoping it wasn't real. It wasn't accurate.
And then they're like, yeah, this is 100% accurate. And it was like a weird person that first put it out there. And it's like, how did they release this? And you're just like, how do they know? And nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
How's this the first person coming out? And, yeah. But the rest of that day was like, wow. Could not believe it. And I don't know that I ever... Like I said, Kobe was never like my favorite player, but like you said, respected him. But I don't know that I still have ever really fully grasped that entire thing and dealt with it the way I, in my mind, that I think most people have. It just hit me in a weird way.
It's just hard to believe.
And I can't explain it. And I'm still not there. Like, I have a book about Kobe's life that I bought.
We just got one for our son for Christmas.
And I got it like 6 months before this happened, right? I cannot bring myself to read it because his life's over now. And there's going to be a chapter that's not in that book.
Yeah.
And I can't read it. Like, it's weird. I don't know why I can't grasp it in my mind and get through it.
Yeah, you will sometime.
Yeah. It's been a year. Maybe this is today's the day that I should do that.
Man. Hard to believe a year ago we lost Kobe on this date. So, interesting show perhaps today. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Once again, all the activities, except for Wilson Osmer basketball, it sounds like, has been postponed for tonight. And to keep up to speed with the postponements and updated schedules, go to ncksports.com. And once again, the Glen Elder Nutritional Site closed. Blake Senior Center, Cocker City Senior Center, Tipton Senior Center, Down Senior Center, all closed today. There's no cow sale at Mankato Livestock tonight. And, of course, you already know if you're a member of a school, of course, a student, that you don't have school today if you don't. And yes,
I just checked, and Wilson Osmond has been postponed. So and no basketball.
Goes ahead and cleans out the whole schedule for tonight, which we kind of
anticipated. And it happened while the show was going on, so I'm glad
we got it before the show's over.
You said it there at the end, and I'm like, maybe I should check their Facebook page.
Lots of breaking news happens as soon as we sign off. It just never fails.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.